We are in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. We're going to start at verse number 11 momentarily. I want to remind you that in 1570 BC, Amos the First, a pureblood Egyptian who was born and raised in southern Egypt, decided it was time for northern Egypt to come back under the control of the pureblood Egyptians. So he took a military force and went southward along the Egyptian river of the Nile and chased the Hyksos, the foreign rulers, the Semites, out of the Delta region. And when he did this, he ended up establishing the 18th dynasty. Now, he died in 1456, and his son Amenhotep I became the new pharaoh of Egypt. And it would appear that Amenhotep was the pharaoh when Moses was born, and that Amenhotep was the one that had ordered all the baby boy Israelis thrown into the Nile as an act of worship to be gobbled up by the crocodiles. But God had intervened, and Moses ends up being adopted into Amenhotep's family. Moses ends up being raised at court. He, according to Jewish tradition, became part of the Egyptian military as a princely commander of chariot forces. The Book of Antiquities, book number 2, I believe, goes on to tell how Moses was the hero of the Egyptian takeover of Ethiopia, and how Moses ended up marrying a Nubian princess or an Ethiopian princess as part of the peace treaty. And that would have all happened when he was in his 20s. Now, Amenhotep I died in 1526. Thutmose I comes to power. He would have been the one that Moses was serving in the military under. Then in 1513, Thutmose I dies, and Thutmose II becomes pharaoh of Egypt. And this would have been the man that, again, Moses is serving under as a part of the military and then a part of the royal court. Then in 1499, when Moses is about 37, Thutmose II dies. Now, Thutmose III is a baby. So Hatshepsut comes forward and seizes control of the throne of Egypt and becomes a female pharaoh. Now, she's not the first one. There had been others. But she is one of the most famous female pharaohs. Her reign generally is thought of as being pretty peaceful. But she seems to be the pharaoh that is very aggressive toward Moses because of what Moses does in his life when he hits the age of 40. And so we're going to go to Exodus chapter 2 now and talk about what happens next in our story. And I would put this story in 1496 B.C. When he was 40 years of age. Let me get to my Exodus chapter 2. And we are ready now. It says, "One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people," and by that we mean his biological people, the Israelites, "and he looked at their burdens." Now, this might not be the first time that he's done this, but on this particular day, he is really grieved by the atrocities that are occurring. As I mentioned last session, I think, the slavery situation of the Israelis was something that the African slaves of the southern part of the states really related to, because they were just so horribly treated simply because of their ethnicity. They were treated like animals. And so that is the sort of mistreatment that really sets Moses off. It says that he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. So this guy is really pummeling the Israeli, really hurts him badly. And so Moses decides to do something about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that disagrees with a lot of the commentaries, but I think I've got good Bible reasons for making this assertion. I don't think Moses intended to murder this guy. I think Moses intended to give him exactly what he'd given to the Israeli, which was a very severe beating. Unfortunately, it crosses the line, and the guy dies. So Moses looked this way and that. So he knows what he's about to do is actually going to break rules. And so he doesn't really want to be seen by the authorities doing this. He actually seems to not really want to be seen by anyone. So he looks this way and that, and then he ambushes the guy. He struck down the Egyptian. Now, this is where I think the accidental part comes in. I think he intended to hurt this guy bad, but he ends up killing him. And then he panics. So he hid his body in the sand, thinking that maybe that will be the end of it. Maybe the authorities will assume that this guy, you know, just decided to take off and go somewhere else. Verse 13. "When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together." So now we've got two slaves fighting and arguing with each other. "He said to the man in the wrong." So this is Moses telling the story, by the way. He's the one writing the book of Exodus. So he makes the moral judgment that one of them was wrong. He was abusing the other. And so he calls him on the carpet about it. "Why do you strike your companion?" See, that's wrong. Why are you doing that? "And that guy," the guy in the wrong, said back, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed that Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." So this guy's response, trying to justify his own inappropriate actions, is, "Who made you boss over us? Who made you our God? You're going to plan on killing me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" And so that's the first time that Moses understands that he did not get away without witnesses. And it doesn't matter that it's an Israeli slave that knows this information. It is going to be bad if that information gets back to Hatshepsut, who is the pharaoh of this time. And it does. When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. Now, this throws a lot of people off because I was just talking about the first female pharaoh, right? The word pharaoh, I believe, is a masculine word because it's mostly males that occupy this position. But we also know that Hatshepsut, being a woman in a man's world, actually dressed up like her male predecessors. She even had the little fake beard put on her chin in some of the images we have of her. So don't be thrown off by the fact that the pharaoh is represented by a masculine pronoun here. So when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. Now Hatshepsut, who is the one doing this, I believe, may have also had the impetus of getting rid of this non-Egyptian out of the royal court. Because everyone would have known that Moses was an Israeli baby that was adopted as a pet by one of Pharaoh's daughters back in the past, 40 years ago. And so they would have probably treated him in a way similar to what we know Joseph got treated as when he was an honored part of the leadership in Egypt. Yes, he was respected. He was shown proper respect for his position, but no Egyptians would eat at his same table. So something similar may have been happening with Moses, his entire 40-year life. And so Hatshepsut may have absolutely despised the idea that she had a foreigner in her court, and maybe even a military officer. And so at this opportunity of him being guilty of the death of a full-blood Egyptian, she can now get rid of him. And when Moses heard about this, he decides it's time to leave. So Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian. Now, before we go into that next part of the story, I want to take a real quick trip over to the book of Hebrews and see how the Hebrew writer tells some of the elements of this story and makes application for New Testament readers of it. And so that's Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 23. And the Hebrew writer has an awful lot to say about Moses as an example of someone exercising faith. So Hebrews 11, 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. So not just mom, but also dad, because they saw he was a beautiful child. Now, it's not just that he was beautiful, he was special. And they were not afraid of the king's edict, meaning they were going to disobey it on purpose. By faith, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So basically, he chose his Israeli heritage over his Egyptian heritage. The Hebrew writer makes this New Testament application of that choice. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. So according to the Holy Spirit inspired writer of Hebrews, Moses was relating much closer with the Israelites and God than he was with the Egyptians here in his 40th year of life. And that is why he tried to intervene on their behalf. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, the reason I went with that last verse is because I want you to see that the Hebrew writer is not talking about the first time Moses left Egypt there, because he was definitely afraid when he left Egypt for Midian. He was afraid that he would be tracked down and executed. But the second time he left Egypt, he did not fear, because by then he had an intense personal relationship with the God of the universe. Now, back to the Exodus text. He goes to Midian. This is verse number 15, the end of it in chapter 2. And he sat down by a well. So here we have another well story. You remember how Rebecca was at the well when she was selected to be the bride of Isaac. You know that Jacob met Rachel at the well. So here is another well story. Now, the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Now, Midian is due east from Egypt's delta. There is a major trade route that goes across to the top of what we call the Gulf of Aqaba today, the Gulf of Aqaba arm on the Red Sea. And Midian is on the east side of the northern tip of the Gulf of Aqaba. And so he travels probably along the main trade route until he comes to Midian. Now, how much farther was he planning on going? We don't know. He may have had in mind that he was going to go all the way up to Babylon, because that road eventually heads north up to Babylon. But we know at Midian, he runs into these seven daughters of the priest of the region. And while he is there watching them watering their flocks, he sees another injustice. And you should understand this. Moses is someone who believes that unrighteousness should not be allowed to stand. I mean, he tried to stop that Egyptian from ever hurting another Israeli. He then tried to stop an Israeli from hurting another Israeli. And so now, what does he see here? Verse 17, the shepherds, these are male shepherds, came and drove them away. So they chased away these seven daughters of the Midianite priest and made them have to wait to water their flock. They've probably been doing this for a long, long time. But Moses decides enough is enough. He stood up and he saved them. So he's 40 years old, and he's been a military officer in the chariot force. He is an accomplished military person according to Jewish traditions, and I believe that makes the most sense. He is not someone to be messed with. And so he stood up, chased these guys off, and then he turned around and volunteered to water their flocks for them, help the ladies out. That makes him their hero. When they came home, to their father Reuel, which is an interesting title, probably, Re'el has to do with being either the friend of God or the shepherd of God. And so it seems to be the title for his position as a priest. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion here that you'll probably not see anywhere else. I believe that Re'el might be someone similar to Melchizedek, someone who had been serving the Creator God apart from the patriarchs, and that he has some sort of basic connection with the God of the universe. Now, Midian is in a region where descendants of Abraham and Esau live. And so it could be that they've come across this faith by that means. And this is kind of the tail end of many generations of stories about the true and living God. But whoever this guy is, he is a priest of God. And so they come home to their father, Re'el, the shepherd of God, the friend of God. And he said, "How is it you've come home so soon today?" So apparently, they're always getting run off by these shepherds and having to wait to water their sheep until later. But today, they got home early. And he's like, "How did that happen?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds." Now, what do you mean, an Egyptian? Well, that's what he would have looked like. Because for 40 years, he's been living as an Egyptian, which means you shave off all your hair. You're clean shaven, your head's shaven, your eyebrows even. And he would have been dressed in Egyptian clothing of high rank. So he's got that little white kilt of very high thread count weave. He's got probably that gold shield around his neck. And he probably has some sort of Egyptian-style headdress on as well. So he looks Egyptian. So that's what they said. That Egyptian guy, he rescued us from the shepherds, and he even drew water for us. He watered the flock. Can you believe that, Dad? He said to his daughters, "Well, where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." So Dad is like, "I can't believe you just left him out there by the well. You go back out there and you tell him he's welcome to come and stay here." And so Moses was content to dwell with the man. Now, this is really shortcutting the story at this point. More than likely, he invited Moses to stay at his place for as long as he wanted to on his journey. And then Moses probably started doing a little bit of work here and there for him, similar to the story of Jacob, you remember, whenever he showed up and did some watering of the flock of Laban. And so eventually, Moses is hired by Re'el to shepherd his sheep rather than his daughters. Now, the sheep are more than likely not just for food and fleece. Remember, he is a priest of God. And priests offer sacrifices for people. He probably has what we would call a little congregation. He probably has a little group of worshipers there in Midian that he helps reach out to God through sacrifices. And so that's what these sheep would be for. And so Moses just starts living with them, starts working for him, and probably starts worshiping with him. And eventually, it happens. He fell in love with one of the seven girls and ends up marrying her. It says, he gave Moses his daughter Zipporah. Now, Zipporah is a word that means bird. So a lot of people like to say that he got married to Birdie as her name. And that works perfectly fine for me, okay? Now, he starts raising a family after a bit. Now, this is all happening during a 40-year period that he is in Midian. It seems to me as if he doesn't get married right away. I think he may live with this family for a couple of decades before he develops a relationship with this young woman and gets married to her. Because we know that there are some issues that come up on the road to Egypt after 40 years in Midian that are related to these little kids. Okay? So I don't think they come along until later. So she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. So the name Gershom in Hebrew is the word for foreigner, for sojourner, somebody that lives temporarily somewhere. Now we're running out of time. So 40 years Moses is in Midian. And during that 40 years' time, he gives up on the idea that he could have rescued the Israelis out of their bondage. Because as we will start with next time, that seems to be what he believed. That he was there at that moment going to become their redeemer. But he was jumping the gun by a few years and certainly by what he did. But now, after he's gotten used to the idea that he's now just a shepherd, God comes back into the picture and tells him otherwise.